Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Seth Habagger.
Good morning, everyone.
And we join our fourth member of the team, Mr. Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. I'm sorry to do that to you, Paul. You didn't ask for that. You didn't need
it. That's all right. I don't mind coming off the bench. It's okay.
There you go.
You're an integral part of the team, Paul. Otherwise, we'd just be saying, it's something out there. It looks a little, I don't know if I'm going out. How is it looking for today, Paul, especially since we can't tell what the weather anymore because of the haze?
Yeah, right.
It's hard to tell now.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, is that haze or cloudiness? Definitely can be a crapshoot the way things have been going this summer. And we do have a little bit of some showers that's building eastward across the state. So a little bit of that coming towards Marshfield, a little bit off to our west. Yeah, but it's a little light shower activity with this as we get further into the morning, midday, and then get into some breaks of sun. And after that, could pass through here over the next few hours, and then a few late day showers and storms in that forecast as well. Highs to about 80 for tonight, 64 with a few more showers and storms in the forecast. Scattered shower storm chances into Thursday, partial sun in mid 80s, otherwise 61 Thursday night, late day storm chance Friday, otherwise partly sunny, mid 80s. And then the weekend weather, less of a chance for a rain by the weekend. Still just some partly sunny skies Saturday and Sunday, mid-80s. A spotty storm chance both days, but all in all, looks like a dry weekend. And highs still getting our way to upper 80s, 90 range Monday and Tuesday next week. Still a few of those isolated kind of spotty storm chances taking us to the 4th of July. But, definitely a little bit of rain coming here and on and off here in the short term. And still looking drier by the weekend and beyond that.
Making my dad very happy, Paul. He is tired of his lawn. He just looks at that lawn and just you know, scowls at it. I'm sure he's not the only one. There's plenty of people who are going to be happy with that. Thank you, Paul. We appreciate you. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Hey, you bet. Sounds good.
Have a great day. Best in the business right there, friend Paul Trombley, the Weather Eye Weather Center. Our fourth member of the team.
There you go.
The fourth. We got great things lined up for you, everybody. In just a little bit, we're going to do some celebrating with our great friends at Misty's Menu. Looking forward to that. It is Wednesday, so after Melissa's news, we'll have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with our good friend Phil Hartley and the gang over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids.
Nice.
Looking forward to all that. After all of we're done talking with Phil, I've got eight rules for healthy arguments.
Healthy arguments.
Mm-hmm. Arguments can be healthy.
Yeah, yeah. I think that similar to what I say, how much do you know about yourself if you've never taken a punch? How much can you know about your relationship if you've never been in the fight?
That's a good point.
I don't like it. I'm not saying I like that, but I think it is a part of the, you know, understanding each other.
My arguments have too much cholesterol. They really got to bring that down. So,
next hour, we are very excited to welcome to our WFHR stage Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland's own.
It's always cool to talk to Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up June Dairy Month in style with Taylor. We're going to talk with her a little bit. She's got some great stuff for us. Looking forward to that. And we have to ask Taylor our poll question. What's her favorite dairy product?
Ooh, that's going to be hard for her.
Don't let me forget.
I bet she's not lactose intolerant.
No, I'll bet you she's not. Is that a prerequisite? You can't be Allison Dairyland.
I would like to see in the next Allison Dairyland lactose intolerant, actually. I actually think that would be really good.
Expand it a little bit.
There are plenty of people that I think would fit that bill. After all that, we'll get some entertainment news. Got a couple of Danny Wright stories and local good stories of the day all lined up for you. Our entertainment news, we're going to tell you who the new Superman is.
Superman?
Yeah, we've got the new Superman lined up for you and the new host of the Wheel of Fortune, if you haven't already heard.
Oh, actually, I haven't, so this will be news to me. You go.
All that coming up for you, along with Rafter news and that entertainment segment we'll get to as well. Rafters won last night. Spoiler alert, Rafters won last night. I do want to get into this one to kick things off, though, and I want to hear from the audience as well. 424-2600, feel free to call up and join this conversation about menu anxiety.
It's real.
You have to say it like that. Menu anxiety.
Menu anxiety, all right.
30% of us get menu anxiety, especially younger Americans. This is a new trend that has started, a new term that has started. I don't think that the trend is new. It sounds like it's something that's
probably been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah, we're just now giving it a label. We're kind of giving it a terminology. 41% of people in their 20s, 30s, and early 40s get anxious, compared to just 15% of people older than that. Wow. Our top tactic for dealing with it is something you've probably done. Tell the server to come back to you and take your order last.
Okay.
So what are we stressing about? What does this actually all come down to? Why can't we decide? The most common answer was what's going to taste best, but it's not the only thing holding us up. The top three things we're thinking about when we order are the taste, the price, and how long it'll take to make it.
Ah, okay.
How messy it is also made the top five. And if you're in that younger demographic, you might also be worrying about the environment.
Oh.
Only 7% of older Americans think about the environment, the environmental impact of their meal, compared to 20% of millennials and Gen Zers.
Hmm.
They're also twice as likely to say that seeing the word vegan or vegetarian makes them more likely to order something.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
I think we can take a lot of angles on this one.
Yeah, we
can. A lot of different approaches on it. Let's start right out the gate of menu anxiety. Have any of you experienced that before? Melissa, have you?
Well, I do, but it's for a different reason. When I order at a place, I try to find something that I don't have to make a lot of alterations to.
Yeah.
Or I'm nervous to order something that I don't know what all the ingredients are.
Right.
So
right.
I try to get something simple. Because it's... Especially if you can tell the waitress or waiter isn't very well versed in the menu, mm-hmm. it's difficult to ask, are these specific things in this item?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, let me go ask in the kitchen. And then I feel like an absolute heel.
Yeah.
So that's where my anxiety stems from.
I thought about that going into this, Melissa, because you've been a real eye-opener for me when it comes to those things. I have been very fortunate. When I go into restaurants and I've ordered stuff, it's all been picky. I've been so picky my whole life. And it's actually helped me kind of like have a little more... not only try new things and to be go out there a little bit more, but to be really appreciative of the position I'm in, that I can be picky, mm-hmm. that me being picky is a matter of just
choice,
choice and spoiled taste as compared to a life, changing kind of thing and stuff. So I really do appreciate you sharing a lot of that. People like myself, I think, need that reminder of how fortunate we are with that stuff.
Well, and whereas mine is not, life-threatening, it's not like a nut allergy that would be far more serious for people to have to deal with. Mine is more just a discomfort.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't want to make light of that discomfort, that's all. From what I understand, it can be very discomfort.
Well, and that's something you have to learn. I've got a child who has both a tree and a peanut allergy, and that's something you have to get used to. Have to do it when you get to, because you have to tell everybody, I have a child with a tree and a peanut and stuff. And at first you feel like you're, it's like, oh, at least for me, it was like, I feel like I'm, adding extra to the person, I'm like making work more and stuff like that. I felt bad. But in the end, it's like, well, I got to protect my child. So
right.
I got to make sure that we find
reality.
Out the stuff. Exactly. So yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about there, Melissa, with that.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I just realized, because you mentioned it, I think the messiness.
Mm.
I don't mind my foods being together. I'm a big goulash fan.
Yeah,
I love, stuff in a pot.
Have to have everything in its own little separate spot.
But if I have to eat it with my hands... Like a burger or a sandwich or something like that, I realize I have a problem with the messiness of it.
Huh.
So if it's like too big, there's so much stuff stacked on it, and then it starts coming out, that for whatever, that really bothers me.
Huh.
So my solution is terrible, because what I do is I eat it fast.
Oh,
so I don't have to deal with the mess.
Oh my.
So I'm done before everyone else. I'm just, nom nom nom,
Oh
wow.
That's a process.
Interesting tactic.
Yep. I know, and I don't know where that came from, but that's how it works, unfortunately.
If I eat it faster, it will be less messy. Well, no, but it'll be done faster.
But it'll be done faster, and I have to worry about it. That's probably... So maybe that
then
is an anxiety for me. I don't know.
Hands.
Yeah. How many napkins do I have here,
So let me ask you, Seth, do you eat chicken wings?
Ha, 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 ha. See, that's a...
Oh, that's a great point.
Great question.
I do. I love chicken wings. I do. Mm-hmm. But if there's a dry rub, I'll get it.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Without the dressing.
There's sometimes when I'll have like traditional buffalo wings, you know, with buffalo sauce.
Dressed, really, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it does bother me a little bit. Mm. It does. I have to tell you. You're right. You're right. So
I've mentioned a couple of times that since December I've been doing therapy once a month. And while I think that it's been really enlightening and difficult at the same time and in all the right ways, mm-hmm. One of the things that has blown my mind the most is my connection with food, mm-hmm. and how much that plays in your psyche, plays into that, how much of all these different things. And the one of the interesting things to me is our relationships with our foods and the foods that we eat, and how we kind of, especially as we get older and food, because we're so used to eating, we're so used to just, you know, doing what we do. And a lot of times we go to normal foods, we go to our comfort foods and our connections to those, and how much some of that is nostalgia, some of that is integral things that happened to us when we were young. I never thought that food and the psyche were that connected until this. And it's crazy to hear. So what you're saying, Seth, there, to what Melissa's talking about, where it's a health thing and stuff, it's just very interesting to me. Because for me, food has always been very cool. It's something that brings families and people together and all that. But when it comes to me personally, my personal relationship with food, it's gasoline. It's been fuel.
It's just something to keep you going, right?
I like
bacon double cheeseburgers.
Exactly. I like to work. I like to keep busy. I like to exercise, all these things. I need fuel to be able, I need to be able to do it.
Yep.
So I'm just going to eat just so I can do the things I like to do. Food is kind of like a byproduct of that.
Right.
As I'm getting older, I'm learning to discover, you can actually take 5 minutes and enjoy this
There's
piece
enjoyment
of food.
In food.
Yes. It has changed things for me very, very much.
Very cool.
Dinner I explained, you know, the other week with my daughter and everything. Old me would have just burned through that and just, you know, I'd have had a good conversation, a good experience, but I wouldn't have gotten the true meaning of the moment with her with that.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Food broadens our horizons, and, you know, it brings an element to situations like that that can be enjoyed if you allow it.
Yep. Well said.
I do feel for anybody with the menu anxiety, though. I really, this is one of those ones, I don't make light of this one. Only in the sense, I also don't put it up there with certain anxieties. I think there are ones that are much heavier and stuff. It's okay to have these looked at, but you don't have to rank these things either. You know, it's tough on anybody, I would feel for.
Oh, go ahead, Melissa.
I was just going to say, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'll go last.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody else goes, I was going to go last.
And then you get into a big fight. No.
Yeah.
No. The last thing I was going to say about it, and I do appreciate places that have simpler menus.
Yeah.
They specify, you know, that they specialize in one, you know, certain things. And like a one sheet menu is the best for me, because that means that you don't have to worry about all these different choices and kind of thing. Yeah. You can just say, that looks good, and go for it. Exactly. Yep.
Anything's better than being that person that goes to Burger King at 2 a.m. and you're looking for tacos. You know, that kind of thing. That's a little difficult.
Well, they say, have it your way.
That's fair.
You rule.
Yeah.
You rule.
Make me tacos now.
I want a taco on my burger.
Speaking of menus, though, Seth, I also like ones that list out what's in their items.
Ingredients are very important.
Give a good description, because then I don't have to ask as many questions.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's cool.
You can try some of the great things on the menu at Misty's Menu.
Woohoo!
We'll be talking about them in just a moment when we get back on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's my birthday. No one
It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's really hard to come out with the energy after that one.
I know. I like Blur, though. You know,
I like Blur, too. Why can't there be emo birthdays?
Why not?
You know, they celebrate birthdays. Not really celebrate, but they celebrate.
Yeah. I got to answer a question for you guys yesterday, because I heard the song you played, and you were asking many questions about it.
Yes.
The name of the band is Altered Image.
Oh.
They are from Australia. So you're right, James. They were not an American band.
Okay.
You said something about that.
Yeah.
They had a couple of minor hits in the United States in the 80s, but that was one of their bigger ones, actually, was the birthday one that they did. So
that's pretty cool.
There you go. There's your answer for everybody.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends at Misty's Menu. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for course, wish him a great birthday from a great day from all of us at WFHR. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get ahead of yourself, I'm sure Misty's got a birthday coming up. Might want to get it out of the way.
Like, yeah, why not?
You know, I wish you a happy birthday months ago. I got this covered. You can go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and get to our actual birthdays and anniversaries. And everybody, I can't remember many times we've had this. We have three possible qualifiers, and all of them are anniversaries.
Oh, wow. Nice. Cool.
We get a lot of ones where it's all birthdays, not like this, though. This is pretty cool. So I need a 1 through 3, Seth.
2.
Oh, that worked out. All right. So any of these would be great winners. We get to do our celebrating first with happy 26th anniversary to Jay and Melissa Mattis.
Aha, great name. Jay and Melissa. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Wishing you a great one, you two. Happy 26th. Wishing a very happy 54th anniversary to Bob and V. Dion.
Wow.
Ooh, Bob and V, congrats and happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's a good one. 54.
54 is
years.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Any over 50 is impressive.
Really is. And not to be outdone, over 60 is what I have here. I don't have an exact number, just over 60.
They stopped counting at 60. Like, we made it past that. Let's just say it's that. We'll move on.
Our qualifiers, Roz and Donna Peets.
Oh, Roz, congratulations.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Roz, Donna, we wish you a fantastic one. First off, thank you for the over 60. That got us. That's beautiful. That's hilarious. And congratulations, you guys. Not on
no kidding.
Qualifying is really cool. You could win some free Misties at the beginning of next month. Congratulations, over 60. Mazel tov, you two. That is amazing.
It's great.
That really is cool. Thank you so much for getting us these. We really love celebrating with you all. And I heard from some our listeners in Finland recently.
All right.
Who are still listening on their ham radio, so they love it too.
That's great.
We did this bit ages ago where we were saying good morning in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to bring that one back.
And yeah.
That was a good three, four years ago or something like that. We're going to have to bring that one back. So a little homework for everybody. So looking for how to say good morning in different languages.
Okay.
Well, and Katrina did it not that long ago.
Yes.
You guys did a good job with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She did a really good job with that.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at our celebrity birthdays now. Lancey Shimmer is 35, former Dancing with the Stars pro.
So many former Dancing with the Stars.
Really are.
Well, there are a lot of seasons.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Kelly Pickler is 37, country singer turned reality TV star. She had Best Days of Your Life. She came in sixth place on American Idol and won season 16 of Dancing with the Stars.
She's been in a couple acting now. Yeah, she's done some acting jobs, too.
I've seen her in some stuff.
Yeah.
She didn't do a bad job. I just can't think of what I saw her in. I apologize, but I know I did. I remember this young lady. Felicity Day is 44. One of our favorite nerds. We love Felicity Day.
Ah, she's great.
She was Charlie on Supernatural, just destroyed the scenes on that show. She was so good, so likable. Very, very good on that show. She was also Poppy on The Magicians and the villain on the most recent villain on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's right. Kinga Forrester.
Yeah. I really like her. I really like her work. She's one of those ones. She filmed a lot of that pregnant. She was a lot of actors have to take breaks when they're pregnant, unfortunately, and fortunately, as they would tell you.
Yep.
But I admire when she came into this opportunity. She was such an MST3K fan that she's like, I don't care what's going on. I'm doing this. Like, I'm making this happen. She killed it. She was great. She did a really good job. Rob Diedrich is 49, skateboarding star of MTV's Robin Big. And I think he did another show on there, too, that I never saw.
But, probably.
Yeah. I don't always do this. A lot of times I just skate past these names because we only have so much time, and I don't really like to give attention to people that have too much attention already, I think.
Okay.
But Elon Musk is 52 today. and I'm mentioning this because of how much money he is currently losing on Twitter. And his father just came out yesterday and said that he didn't want his son to fight Mark Zuckerberg because he would be embarrassed.
And thanks, Dad.
My God, I can't think of many things that would embarrass me more in life than my father coming out, especially my dad coming out and say, Jimmy, no, man, don't do this, Jimmy, no. Like, and it'd be one thing if Elon Musk was picking a fight with Mike Tyson, okay? It'd be one thing, but Mark Zuckerberg, you're afraid of him? And then your dad comes out and says this, and I love the idea, even though we can't prove this, and it probably didn't even happen. I love the idea of Elon going to his dad and saying, "Dad, could you help me save some face here? Could you come out and say that you don't want your son to get hurt? That'll make me look good to the. That'll make me look." And had it completely blowing up in his face, because that's the kind of quote genius idea that Elon Musk would have. And as I was doing that rip on him, he lost over $35,000.
Just that?
Just over that.
One second.
That's how much money that man is siphoning off. Tell me he's a genius again, everybody. Please try to tell me how that guy's a genius. Happy 52nd birthday, Elon. Moving on. John Cusack, one of the greats, is 57. Joan's younger brother and the star of the unusual comedies, Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer, one of the most famous scenes in movie history from Say Anything, where he's holding up the boombox and playing the Peter Gabriel. John Cusack is also, for my money, the greatest one of the greater jobs of playing a real-life person before when he did Edgar Allan Poe. I just thought he was amazing.
I forgot he had done that.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't name drop and mention that I've met Mr. Cusack. John and his family, they grew up about a block away from my family on Cicero and Racine. The Cusacks grew up a block or two over. So we've heard for many years about their building their name up and building up the Cusacks in that area in Chicago and everything. I had an interview, audition, my biggest audition at the time at Steppenwolf Theater. I'm nervous, so nervous that I forgot, I got on the brown line, I got on the wrong line to get there. So I was running a little late. And I got lucky that it didn't matter because everybody, all the auditions were running late. But I get in the elevator, and it's only one floor up. I get in the elevator, and I'm nervous as all get out. And who's in there but this person that I grew up idolizing? I grew up in being one of my biggest influences. And he's leaned back against the elevator, and he's in sunglasses, and it's John Cusack. And I've never been around a famous person before. I interviewed Gary Sinise for school, but it was me and 120 other people, and he was on a stage and all this, you know. This is the closest I've ever been to somebody like this. And I'm nervous as I'll get out, but I have to make the moment count. I have to say something. So I nervously say, you're a big influence to me or whatever and everything. I really liked you in One Crazy Summer or something like that, you know, or whatever. And he just looked at me. He's like, oh, thanks. What are you here for? He's like, I'm auditioning up there. And he's like, break a leg. Yeah, you're going to do great. And then I got off the elevator, and I felt amazing. I felt awesome. I completely forgot about my audition. I lost my monologue. I had it all memorized. I lost it all because all I can think is I got my cousin Lisa's picking me up afterwards, and I got to tell her, and I don't think she's going to believe me. And it's not until I'm like sitting there, and I should be focusing on my monologue. I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't get off the elevator. What was he doing on that elevator? Why did he go up one floor and then come right back down? He didn't get off the elevator. Did I make him uncomfortable? Did he not want to get off the elevator with me?
This weird kid here, man. I don't know.
I have to meet him someday just so I can ask him this. But in all seriousness, he took a moment and was very nice to a completely no-name person. It couldn't have been nicer
to me.
That's great. And I will take that with me. Anytime I meet an actor, anytime I meet somebody who is starting out in the business, I treat them just how he treated me.
Well, now we've got an in, so we can get John Cusack on Director's Cut,
Have to.
Let's get him on there.
Just, if anything, so I can ask him that. Yeah. Like, if anything,
just that one question. He probably doesn't even remember it.
No. Oh, he has no memory.
He will not remember that. No.
None. I guarantee. I would be shocked if he remembered that. Mary Stuart Masterson is 57. Great actor.
Very good.
She went from Some Kind of Wonderful and Benny and June to Bed of Roses and Fried Green Tomatoes and Blind Spot. Incredible career. Career. One of those names gets lost in the shuffle when we talk about great actors of our generation. Mm-hmm. She's up there. She's one of them.
Mm-hmm. I loved her. Richard Dean Anderson's favorite actress.
Really? I didn't know that. That's a good one. That's a good pick. I like him, too. I like him, so that's good. Her work in Benny and June was wonderful. I liked her in that. The great John Elway is 63 today, Denver Broncos legend, Super Bowl MVP. One of my favorite actors of all time, Kathy Bates, 75. Certainly memorable from Misery and so many other great performances. Mm-hmm. Just incredible. A lot of my favorites born on this day. I'm sorry, everybody. I can't help myself. The great, the legend, one of the greatest to ever do anything in entertainment, Mr. Mel Brooks, is 97.
97.
He's 97 years old.
We don't knight people in this country, but if we're ever going to call somebody sir, it would be Mel Brooks.
Yeah. What a career.
Genius writer, director, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, History of the World Part 1 and 2, The Producers, and Spaceballs. There is nothing that Mel Brooks hasn't done, and one of the greatest self-deprecating artists of all time.
Yep.
Mel Brooks would be the first one to tell you that he should have came out with Robin, Men in Tights, and Spaceballs like 2 years after those movies, yeah, the actual exactly. movies came out. Like, so many things about his career he'll rip out. I love him.
And I got to say, his early career is somewhat forgotten because of all the movies and everything. He was a writer on Sid Caesar's shows, yep. Caesar's Hour and Your Show of Shows. He was one of the head writers there. And then he later went on to produce, like, Get Smart, a couple of really popular TV shows as well. People forget he was part of that as well. So what a career.
One of my favorite things about Mel Brooks is his deflection. You go ahead and you tell him he's a genius, he's this, he's that. The first thing he'll tell you is, I got it all from Sid Caesar, or I got the actors that were in the movie or something like that. It is difficult to make this man take any credit.
Yep.
I hope at 97, Mr. Brooks, you are taking some credit.
Please
you
deserve do.
It. Take your flowers, sir. Your flowers.
One more shout out. Great movie about his early days in television. My Favorite Year. It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it. I wanted to see that one. I got to see that.
Great performance by John Hurt. It's got I forget his name.
I know
Perfect Strangers guy. You know who he is.
Yeah.
That was his first big role. So, yeah, it's a good movie.
And also, somebody no longer with us, my mom's favorite, Gilda Radner. Born in this day in 1946, passed away in 1989. The late, great SNL superstar, and of course, wife of Gene Wilder for many years. Mm-hmm. My favorite Hollywood couple of all time is Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner. That's easily my favorite Hollywood couple ever. I loved Gilda. She was a huge influence on me. Rosanna Danadana. So many different characters that she did. And it should be noted that Gilda was the first to really push through the boys' club that was Saturday Night Live. Belushi, Chase, all those guys, they took over the writer's room. They took over the sketches. And Laurie Newman, Jane Curtin, Gilda Radner, three of the greatest actresses ever on television, had to fight to get scenes in there. But Gilda won people over. Gilda was able to, where Lorraine Newman and Jane Curtin were a little more bulldogish, Gilda killed them with kindness and got in on that. And it worked for her. And that's how she would get a lot of scenes. But it's just kind of noteworthy that I can't imagine how many scenes she wanted to do that we didn't get.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Great actress, too.
Yeah.
Great actress. I would have loved to have seen her get to do serious stuff like she wanted to.
Yeah, in the end, because we lost her so early.
Yeah.
It would have been so fascinating to see how it would have turned around. When they finally got it, we got to do what Bill Murray got to do. We got to do with a lot of those comedic actors got to do.
You get a chance to watch some Gilda Radner today, watch some scenes of her, and you might even be able to combine that, like watch some of that and watch like Young Frankenstein. You get to see Gene Wilder, get a little bit of the meaning of the worlds there, and you get to celebrate Mel Brooks' birthday as well. One more time, happy 26th anniversary to Jay and Melissa Mattis.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy 54th anniversary to Bob and V. Dion.
Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary.
And a happy 60th to our qualifiers, Roz and Donna Peets.
Congratulations.
Roz and Donna.
All great names.
Yeah.
All great names today and great anniversaries. Thank you to everybody that sent us those. Keep them coming, everybody. We want to celebrate with you even more. Get them to us. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james.maleff@civicmedia.us. However you need to do it, direct message us on Facebook. Just get us those birthdays and anniversaries. And celebrate with our friends at Misty's Menu. Head on over there right now. They're open till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. And 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Time for Melissa's News on Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally Grown Radio. It's a Wednesday that we're acting like it's a Friday. You know it ain't no stopping all the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. Getting our groove on around here with the Cube. Melissa, Seth, and James here. You're going to be joined by our good friend Phil Hartley with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from Quality Plus Printing any moment now. Looking forward to that. As long as we're killing a little time, let's talk some Rafters baseball.
Yeah.
Rafters edged out a victory in Traverse City to end the Michigan road trip with a win. Nicely done, boys, this summer. One of these games where we out-hit the other team again. I have not been keeping track, but I would gather that this is of almost six or seven games in a row that we have out-hit hit the other team. We haven't won all those games, but that is a nice sign to see that the bats have warmed up.
Yes, for sure. It looks like they finally, you know, that first couple of weeks, they were still trying to, you know, it's their spring training, basically.
Yep.
Trying to get, you know, communication between each other and everything like that, getting everything back in the swing of things, so to speak. And and it's really, man, they have really cohesed. Is that a word? Cohesed?
Sounds like a word.
As a unit.
I like it.
So they look a lot better the last couple weeks. They've looked really good.
Like a lot of jobs, this is one of those ones that they've got to do in real time. It's the only way to build chemistry, the only way to, like I was talking about from the first game of the season, you bring these airs down, they get a little chemistry going.
Mm-hmm.
And after we bring in these kids from Virginia that are coming in from the College World Series, as we heard from Tyler yesterday, or Monday on Playmakers, the roster is set.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't even gotten into the second half of the season yet.
Nope.
For these guys and these boys, that doesn't happen every season. For them to have a set team going forward, that's only going to strengthen our opportunities to win a title.
Because
that's what it's about. Yep. We want a title. Last year was too teasing.
So close.
Ran out of steam towards the end of the run. I like the way that this is set up this year where it's a marathon. And I think that last year has really helped the team for this year when it comes to that.
Right. And if you look at the standings, there's not a lot of distance between the top and the bottom this year. So the competition is much better this year than it has been in years past. And I think it might actually, I think you got a good point, James, is that this year may be better for them to win that title because they didn't have to breeze through the season like they did last year.
They end they end the Michigan road trip with a 2-2 record splitting Battle Creek and Traverse City series. They will be back home tonight versus Lakeshore. First pitch at 6:05. Our pregame will start at 5:50. Join Joey and Kevin for a great called game and follow your Rafters all season long right here at WFHR. 30th season of the Northwoods League. Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
Wow.
And let's have some fun with our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing. They join us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Great.
Yeah.
How are you doing over there, Phil?
Yeah, doing good. You're glad to hear the Raptors back in town.
Yeah. Feels good. Phil, we of course appreciate you joining us every Wednesday. We know how busy you guys are over there. There we go. There's the phones ringing. We know how busy you are. What is our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, Phil?
See, I almost did this today, so this word's a good one for me today because I looked up and saw what time it was. So the word of the day is somnambulist.
Somnambulant.
Ooh, somnambulant. Ooh,
yes.
Somnambulant, which means a person who walks around, eats, or performs other motor acts while asleep.
Sleepwalking. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Another word for a sleepwalker, which is basically what I was doing before I called you. I realized what time it was. Wake up from wherever I am right now and call. Somnambulant, which is a person, again, who can do things without knowing they're doing them, I guess. Just walking around and with their eyes wide open, but their mind not.
Nah.
That's a little scary.
It is a little weird. It is a little weird, especially if you experience it and you're not expecting it. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Make horror movies out of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
I love words that when you hear them, you want to say them yourself. Like, both Seth and I did that. Yeah, I don't know if it was Melissa, but as soon as Phil said it, I was like, ooh, I want to say that word.
Yeah.
Somnambulant.
How's that one spelled, Phil?
So, here we go. I got to get it back in front of me again. Somnambulist. Somnambulist.
Somnambulist.
I used my best radio voice for that one.
It was nice. Very good. That was well done.
It was very good. Phil, how are things going over at the shop?
Oh, going really well. Busy morning, so that's good. As you can tell with the phone ringing and people entering the door here. Sorry, it always happens, right? When I get on the phone, it breaks loose, but I guess that's the way it works. It's going good. In fact, when I was saying about the Raptors being home, that's a great thing for us. We print their programs, we hand out the games. So Tyler and the crew over there send me a new file every day, right before noon, and we got to get it over there before 4. So little chores, and they've been away for a while, so we're glad to have them back home so we can have some programs for them. Working for our friends over at ERCO this morning, they one of our great customers. We do a lot of work, especially safety type tags and things that they put on rail cars and the different chemicals they handle over there. So we're proud to, again, another strong local community business to partner with them.
Yeah.
And be there. Hey, you know, last night I was out to, I don't know if you guys have been out there yet, 1718?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was there this weekend.
The new tavern bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another, and I'm so happy when I see new local businesses. I help with the chamber as much as I can. And when you see local businesses opening up, you know, it makes you happy to know that things going on here in Rapids. You know?
I checked out that bar this weekend with my best friend, and it was great, great atmosphere, really nice bar. You walk in there, and it feels like a bar that would be in like a Madison or a bigger city almost. It's got that feel to it. They got a nice restaurant area nice. Over there as well. Didn't get to check that part out, but the whole bar is really nice. It was a very, really good place.
Oh, yeah, they got it lit up, and it looks really neat. And they said, when I was there last night, they said that they're going to start serving food in probably less than a month.
All right.
They'll have a menu with stuff going on. And,
very cool.
And, I was out there for a murder mystery party last night, which was crazy. Fun. That was fun.
I've always wanted to do something like that. That seems like a lot of fun. That's awesome.
Melissa, take note.
Yeah.
Okay. Notes taken.
Guys that all love it. There's some people that are just kind of watching, like don't know for sure what's happening, but there's some people that get right into those characters, man.
Yeah.
it was set in the 1920s, this one.
Ooh.
And,
cool.
The liquor was flowing and the music was playing and it was pretty crazy. I ended up being the murderer.
Phil, how
and
could you?
You don't know that walking in. You get a script and you kind of walk in and you go, then I start reading and go, oh, crap. I got more than I bargained for here. But I was
You have a little experience under your belt to deal with that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's like, oh. I was hoping I'd be the one getting killed so I could just, like, sit back and watch.
Right? Yeah. That's what I would want. That's what
that'd
I would
be the fun
want.
Part,
that's
yeah.
great. Phil, we always appreciate the time and also appreciate that you spend your time almost every time you join us, Phil, talking about another local business.
Yeah.
That is the kind of guy Phil is and the team over there at Quality Plus is, bringing everybody up with him. I appreciate you for doing that, Phil, as always. And a great word today. Thank you for the word, brother. One more time, what is our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, Phil?
Hey, don't be this while you're out driving. Ambulance. Try to do this.
I'm an ambulance.
Safety of your home, right?
Mm. Yeah, sleep driving. That sounds very scary to me. Yeah, don't do that.
I've done that once. It is scary.
Don't do that. Yeah. All right.
Appreciate you, Phil.
Thank you, guys. I really enjoy talking to you, and I hope you all have a great day.
Oh, we're already
you too, Phil.
Next Wednesday, Phil.
Yeah.
Say hi to everybody over there for us. We'll talk soon.
We'll do. You bet. Thanks, guys.
Wonderful talking with Phil. I love talking with Phil. That was a good word, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead and head on over there. Tell Phil how much you enjoyed this segment and then plenty more. Get your printing needs over at Quality Plus Printing. They're at 3515 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. They usually are open till around 4. You can give them a call, 423-7440. That's 423-7440. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, qpprinting.com, and follow them on social media. It's a great follow. Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We'll be back with more fun coming up on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We appreciate you joining us. Little Alice in Chains playing us in. We are so excited. We're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our good friend Taylor Schaefer. She is Alice in Dairyland. We are going to be talking with her in just a little bit. Looking forward to it. Taylor's got plenty to talk about with us. And we're going to have to ask her a couple questions, too.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be really fun. Taylor's in studio today. That is great. We're looking forward to talking with her. Afterwards, we'll get into a little entertainment news, tell you who the new Superman is, who the new host of the Wheel of Fortune is going to be.
Ooh.
Get into some of that. Got a That Ain't Right story. It's some local good stories of the day all lined up. I want to get into also next hour the one we were going to, the 8 rules for healthy arguments.
Okay.
Ah, yes.
But we just don't have time in this. We ran out of time in the segment here, so we're going to go ahead and get to something else, but we'll get to that next hour.
All right.
For right now, Chick-fil-A has dominated this list for almost a decade, but could their reign at the top be coming to end soon?
Ooh.
The American Customer Satisfaction Index ranked the top fast food places according to things like quality, speed, accuracy, and how polite the staff is.
Okay.
They've been doing this since 1994, and Chick-fil-A just took the top spot for the 9th year in a row.
Wow. Jeez.
But the other fast food places might overtake them soon. Jimmy John's jumped way up the list to finish second this year.
Wow.
Really?
Chick-fil-A's average rating was 85 out of 100, and Jimmy John's got an 84. So they just about tied them.
Ooh, nipping on their heels. Yeah.
It's pretty close.
The top 10 are Chick-fil-A, Jimmy John's, KFC, Papa John's, Domino's, Five Guys, Pizza Hut, Starbucks, Arby's, and Dunkin'. Out of the 23 restaurants that they looked at, McDonald's finished dead last.
Really? Wow.
Followed by Taco Bell, Sonic, Jack in the Box, and Wendy's. They also ranks sit-down places. The top five this year are Outback, Cracker Barrel, Longhorn Steakhouse, Texas Roadhouse, and Olive Garden.
Okay.
I'm really surprised Cracker Barrel made that list.
Me too.
They're closing everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And in part because of their service. And from what I've heard, I've only been to a Cracker Barrel once in my life.
Sure.
And I don't even remember how it was. I remember it was a much to do about nothing for me. I was like, oh, all this pomp and circumstance and everybody telling me you should try it. I get there and I'm like, all right.
Nothing really to write home about, right?
Yeah, I wasn't really blown away.
As a teenager, I really liked their crispy chicken salad because it was. I thought it was really good, and their ranch dressing was really good. Back when I ate that, but they have a very family style menu.
They do. It's very true.
I think there's two things that stand out to me right away. For one, McDonald's finishing dead last. Now, if you were a normal business, this might bother you. But when you're McDonald's, there's two factors. One, there are more McDonald's than there are almost any other business in the world.
Right.
Like, not just restaurants, anything.
Anything. Like,
They're spread out throughout the world more than any other business as well. So that has to play into this. Of course, you're going to have a little more data with that. So it's probably going to bring the numbers down a little bit. Also, they don't care. Like, they've proven for decades, since we were kids, they're going to keep making their money, one way or another. So whether they hire good customer service or they have good customer service, you're going to keep going to Mickey D's. So why should they change?
It doesn't matter.
They've made their food addictive. So people are going to keep going back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk here or anything. If you like McDonald's more, you don't care what I say or not.
Exactly. No one's going to care what you say. Yeah.
You're still, the numbers prove this.
Yes.
by normal business standards, McDonald's should not be as big as they are. They have been this bad forever. They've finished number 9 long before they had at the bottom of the list almost every year with this list. And they just don't change. All these other businesses, Jimmy John's, Domino's, they've taken this to heart. This is affecting our numbers. People are going to other businesses because our customer service and our speed isn't on pat.
Well, Domino's is a great example. I mean, what was it, 5-6 years ago? They were in the dumps.
Yeah.
They were about as low as you could get. And you're right. They did a concerted effort to get things back up. And look at now, they're in the top 10. They actually worked at it.
They've definitely done some things with their company to make them more environmentally friendly as well.
That's true. That's true.
Which speaks to their customer base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Again, listening to your customers. Mm-hmm. You wonder why some of these companies do the funny things with their labels, or they try to represent a cause or anything like that. Money. Everything comes back to money.
What?
Yes, unfortunately.
James, really? What?
I know. This is shocking.
I'm shocked.
I'm glad that you were sitting down. I hope our listeners were.
I was not. Now I'll pick myself up off the floor.
Sorry, Melissa. I'm sorry. I should have warned you.
Should have warned you.
Yeah, yes, shoulda.
Her yes shoulda is so good. I love her yes. if you care about this stuff, you have a vote. Your dollar. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go to these places.
Right.
There are other places that serve burgers.
There's Visti's menu.
Yeah.
James,
there's
other great places around fries. Here.
See, I've always felt their French fries were the most overrated thing in fast food. Like, period.
Are we talking McDonald's here?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, all I ever hear is when people push back on McDonald's. Yeah, but their fries. I go there, I try their fries, I taste salt. That's all I taste is salt. Like, salt can make anything taste good. I don't know.
I don't know if Culver's, I guess, isn't big enough to make the list, because they're I've always, they're experience is great for a fast food place. Everyone I've been to has been really good.
I've been going to Culver's over 20 years and not had one bad experience.
Exactly.
Literally.
I'm guessing they're just not big enough to go the list. They're a bit more regional. They could. Yeah. You're right.
Nice.
They could.
Nicely done, Melissa. Yeah. Nicely done. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with fun and Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland's Own, and the next hour of the morning show right here at, I like the way Seth does this. He gets to do it this time.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.